Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and this morning's conversation is with Norman Bowles, Program Director at the FAA Logistics Center in Oklahoma City. And joining me from, also from PwC, is John Kaminsky.
Thank you. Norman, when you left NPR in 1996, you went out to Oklahoma City. You took over the Air Logistics Center. What did you find when you got there, and what did you do?
Well, see, I found an organization with a great group of employees and a really challenging mission. But I also found an organization that was in trouble, like a lot of the logistics organizations around the federal government. Norman Mineta at the time had been asked to do a study for Al Gore on the air traffic control system. His commission recommended, among other things, that the logistics function be outsourced. At that time, there was some senior associate administrators who were asking or suggesting that the logistics center should be closed down. And every time I'd go into D.C. to meet with our number one customer, his question to me would be, well, Norman, why do we need a logistics center? So that was where we were 5 years ago. To give you kind of a teaser, here's where we are today. The logistics center in 2000 and 2001 won President's Quality Award recognition. 1 year we were Merit Award winner, and then the next year we were a finalist. We were, by the way, the only non-military organization or non-military related organization to win in those 2 years. A GAO report this year went to Congress and touted us as a model of employee empowerment. We're listed in two management books, have sections devoted to our strategic planning process. We're ISO 9000 certified, and we believe that we're the highest performing organization in our class in the federal government. And in the last year, we've been recognized by industry, by the Office of Personnel Management, and by the FAA for some of our accomplishments. We did that by two things. 5 years ago, 1996, we set two goals. One goal was that we were going to take our $120 million in appropriations, because at that time we were an appropriated organization. We were going to give all of the money away to our customers. And we were going to go into a revolving fund, and instead of giving the parts away free, we were going to charge them. And that's how we were going to collect our salaries and our contracts and our benefits money. And it would also make the FAA work better if we did that. The other thing was that since we were going to give our money away in 3 years, we figured we better really do a turnaround in two so that when our customers got the money, they didn't decide that they wanted to go elsewhere.
Well, what did your employees feel about all that?
It was kind of a mixed feeling. Everybody was a little bit worried about the fact that there was so much discussion about us being closed down. And at the same time, the prospect of giving money away that contained our salaries was kind of a frightening prospect.
Well, how did you get there? You decided you were going to give away the money and you were going to turn around in two instead of 3 years. But how did you actually get there?
We did it with an incredibly wonderful workforce that wouldn't quit. But we did a number of things. To make changes like this, most government agencies would say, oh, well, we need additional money. And we recognized that our budget was declining and our staffing was going down and we weren't going to get any more money. So we decided we would take the approach that they do in the private sector, like Chrysler back in the 70s when the Japanese automakers were coming in. It was the idea that you're losing market share, you're losing revenues, you're laying off employees, and you got to get your product better than your competitor, who actually is the one who's flush with money. So we decided that if we got cut in a budget year, we would cut ourselves even more and take that additional money and invest it. We moved all of our managers. The idea was that we would not own the organizations that we were heading. We were going to be responsible just for making the changes. And so this gave all of our management team a lot more flexibility to make changes.
That meant your CFO went to go head something else and your IT expert?
Our engineer, our top engineer, went to head the distribution organization. And so we moved people around. It was really a marvelous experience because this is where you learn the difference between management and technical knowledge within the government, probably a lot of other places as well. People get promoted because they're technically proficient. What this meant is that we're going to be taking people and we're going to be relying on their management skills rather than their technical skills to lead this change. We really had to increase the training for our workforce. as you say, they're a little worried. We, in a 9-day period, we took 600 employees, 200 at a time, in three intensive 3-day sessions, learning how to be a customer-driven organization.
And you led all those yourself?
I participated in the training of every one of those sessions. Yes, I did. We created a lot of teams. There were a lot of gaps that we had. We had no performance measurements. We didn't do very well in the way of customer service. So we created teams wherever there was a gap. And these were almost entirely employee teams with no supervisors, or just occasionally there might be a supervisor. These teams were tasked to become experts in their particular areas, because they were going to help us come up with the fixes. We had the opportunity or the choice of either going to expert consultants and have them tell us what to do, and you run into that problem of not invented here. Or what we could do is use our employees to become experts, and then they could adapt whatever they want, whatever they knew. So what we did is we created those teams, and then we let them do benchmarking. And our turnover is not very great in Oklahoma City. And the logistics center was about 3.8% at that time, so we weren't getting an influx of new ideas. But by sending these teams out to the best places in the United States and giving them their opportunity to see the best, they came back with a number of things. Number one, so dissatisfied that they didn't want to work in a place that was so wasn't what the best was. So that was number one. Number two, we came with large numbers of change champions, people who had a passion for what they were doing. And so we ended up with the makings of a very good cost and performance measurement system, with a 1-800-247 customer care center. So at one point in time, we had somewhere between 10% and 20% of our workforce off making changes. We did all the changes simultaneously rather than sequentially. If you have only 2 years, you don't have a lot of time to do things one at a time. Since we were going to be a business, what we did is we decided we would throw away the traditional way of tracking the money the government sends, and we brought in the controller from one of the largest food distributors in the United States the day he retired, brought him in to change our books over to a financial, private sector-like system. So today we use private sector-like financial statements. We do have the backup government types of documents, but our organization runs off of entirely off of private sector like financial statements. We partner with the union. There was no way that we were going to give away our money without and make all these changes if we didn't have a very good working relationship with our union. So at that time, since this was kind of a Hail Mary pass, what we did is we just included the union on everything. The concept of management rights, we just totally ignored. Anything they wanted to see, they could see. Anything that we were going to decide, they participated on. But it gave us 2.5 years of a really rapid change process. And then we realigned our organization. It was, had been all functionally aligned. We went into a product division structure. The outcome was really pretty phenomenal. In fact, so much so that last year there was a study that was done by the Reason Foundation on privatizing the air traffic control system. And they gave all the discussion about why, how other countries had already done this. But they said that the reason that it would work in the United States was because the FAA had already proved that it would work in the FAA, because there was an organization down in Oklahoma City that had essentially privatized itself and had these phenomenal performance changes.
Can you tell me the role of money? You mentioned two things in that description that were very interesting. First, you said you're going to give away all the money, and then you said it was very important that you have private sector financials to, I guess, track the money. Why were both of those things so important?
Well, giving away the money was very, very important because, number one, it was going to have a lot of changes to the FAA. You've read a lot about the air traffic control system and the modernization process. The logistics center, in giving away all of the parts, was not probably was not in the long run something that was good for the agency. It just had been a practice that had been done for a long time. It also made a lot of difference to the logistics center, because if we were on a kind of a fixed mission and that mission was slowly declining, there was no opportunity for the logistics center to get into something new. But if we gave away the money, then we, in essence, would be contractors, and now performance would really make a lot of difference. So that covered the first one. The second thing that you were asking about was the
importance of financial systems.
The financial statements. With the financial statements, we'd really be able to tell how well we were doing. It wasn't a matter of working with budgets. It was trying to be able to track our gains and determine our costs as well as they could in the private sector. And in our minds, if we were going to be super efficient, we really had to be as efficient as in the private sector. The goal was this. The goal was is that if we were in the private sector, you wouldn't want to compete with us. It wasn't if you were a government and you're a private sector looking at the government and says, oh, they're not doing a bad job. The goal was is that if the logistics center ever got privatized, you wouldn't want to be one of our competitors. So the best way to do that was shoot with that as the target at the outset.
Great, and that's a good stopping point. Rejoin us after the break as we continue our discussion with Norm Bowles of the FAA Logistics Center. This is the Business of Government Hour.